Lesson today is found in the book of Acts, the second chapter, pouring out of the Spirit from on high. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost was a stated festival of the Jewish nation. It was held 7 weeks after the Passover on the 50th day. The word Pentecost signifies 50. It was called in this respect the Feast of Weeks because it was 7 weeks after the Passover. It was likewise called the Feast of Harvest because it was at the end of their harvest that they observed this festival. This was their Thanksgiving Day unto God for the bounties of His providence given unto them. This particular blessing that descended upon this day was upon the first day of the week. God seen to it that it came upon our Christian Sabbath day. This likewise gives us more authority to believe that we have the right day in observing our Sabbath day. God gave two great blessings upon this day: the resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. These two blessings are to be commemorated in the church throughout all ages, and especially upon the Lord's Day. This day, Pentecost, was then a day that many of the Jews gathered together to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city in which God had caused His name to dwell. He had been with Solomon when he built the temple, and He had manifested His presence in this house of worship. And from then on, Jerusalem was the stated city to which all the Jewish people gathered together, because God had promised that He would bless them and visit them and commune with them there. This likewise teaches us that we should not have any prejudice against places of worship, for it pleases God likewise to this day to dwell in houses which have been built for His worship. We may call them little Jerusalems. It has pleased God, who is faithful, to keep His promise: I will meet with thee and commune with thee and bless thee there. Has He ever done that to you? Have you ever been in His house of worship? Has He ever personally, individually, gave you a meeting with Him, and you have enjoyed His presence under the hearing of the word, under prayer, under the singing? It doesn't make. If God may come in and we are brought into communion and fellowship with Him, what a blessing, my hearers. This promise had been likewise fulfilled with these people. For lo and behold, He came with the blessing of blessings unto them in Jerusalem where they were gathered. It doesn't just exactly say where they were gathered. According to the last chapter of the book of Luke, we find that they were daily in the temple praising God. But we find in the first chapter of the book of Acts that they were in a large upper room gathered together. Of these people, they were gathered together in one accord, the first text says, and they were with one accord in this place. This was a great blessing that God gave unto these disciples, because many times they had been at discord with each other. They likewise had been striving amongst each other who would be the greatest. But now there was no discord, there was no striving amongst each other. Christ, He had laid His hands upon them, He had breathed upon them, and He had blessed them. And they were now, with one accord, gathered together. they had been given a wonderful promise by God. The Lord Jesus Christ had said unto them that they should abide at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. For John verily baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, not many days hence. They had this wonderful promise given unto them, and this promise united them together. They brought this promise by prayer, by supplication, in unity to the throne of grace. They continued, it says, daily, together in this place, with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren, in prayer and in supplication, bringing before God this wonderful promise that he had given unto them. And to my mind, I think they especially brought to God this, not many days hence. They were looking for it. They were waiting for it. They had a promise for it. Now these people, they resemble, maybe some of you amongst my hearers. Have you ever had a promise of God? Has he ever come to you and gave you out of his precious word some word whereupon he has caused you to hope? Some word for you personally, individually. Can you go back to that time when you received that promise? Then you were something like these disciples and those that were gathered together here. How were they? Oh, they were bound together on the throne of grace. They were supplicating. They were pleading for the fulfilling of the promise. You remember when you did that? You remember you thought sure that that promise would soon be fulfilled? And where it was not fulfilled, probably you said to the Lord, oh Lord, I don't care. I have to wait till the last day of my life if you but fulfill it. And now that probably has been a long time ago. And maybe matters have changed in your mind. Maybe it's with you as it was with the psalmist. We read so distinctly that he says, doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? God does not forget his promise. We forget the promiser, and many times we forget the promise. But God never forgets. He's a faithful God. I read in Psalm 89, that he will never alter the thing that has gone out of his lips. He keeps his word unto 1,000 generations. And what a mercy, what a sweet time that is when God gives us a promise. And we are so bound to the throne of grace. We are running to God in prayer and supplication. We can't leave him alone. Sweet time. Though so it was with these people, they were all with one accord. Oh, it's such a blessing to have unity, to be in accord with each other. You read in Psalm 133, blessed are the brethren that dwell together in unity. Oh, there isn't much unity, my hearers, unless the Spirit brings us in unity. The Spirit brought these people in unity, and therefore they were together as one man, we would say. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had any unity under the hearing of the word, when the minister was preaching the word? You had such union with what he was saying. The things that he was teaching and what he was preaching were going on inside by you, and you could say yea and amen to it. You ever had that? All in your heart went out to the man that was preaching, that was speaking. All you loved the man because you felt that he was a servant of God. You had such an attachment to him. Have you ever had any unity with those that lead in prayer? All the things that they brought forth, they were the desires of your heart. You couldn't express them at times, but all they brought out just what was going on within you. There was such a unity. Oh, my hearers, this unity, this cement cell, this bind cell, Have you ever had something like that? That's a token that the Spirit of God is in you, that it's dwelling in you. These people, they had this unity, this accord, and all that it were more and more so in the days in which we live. There is so much discord, so much disunity. Oh, there is so much prejudice against so many people in so many places of worship and so many ministers. How little unity do we find in these days in which we live? And now these people gathered together praying in this way. Oh, this is a blessed place to be, my hearers. I would advise you as people to gather in such a place where you may believe there is unity, where you may believe that God's Spirit dwells. For we read in the next verse, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were sitting. Suddenly, unexpectedly. Still they were looking for something. They were praying for something. They didn't know just which way God was going to come with his blessed Spirit. They were all anxiously looking and waiting for something. And suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were sitting. Wind, as you know, is a type of the Spirit of God. We find that the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 37, he was told by God to prophesy unto the wind. Say unto the wind, come, O four winds, and all breath breathe upon these that are slain. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was teaching Nicodemus about the great subject of being born again, he also said that the Spirit is like the wind. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and knowest not whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We know, too, that wind makes sometimes a tremendous noise. Sometimes it howls, sometimes it whistles. So here the wind came with a loud noise. It didn't come in every place in Jerusalem. It only came where these people were gathered together. It was in this particular house, for it filled all the house where they were sitting, the word says. This shows us the sovereignty of God in dealing with his church. You know, sometimes the wind blows very hard in different areas, and in other places there is no wind. So it is with the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit does not seem to be in the midst of a people who have had the Spirit amongst them. It's very dormant. It's very cold. It's very lifeless. Then sometimes it blows, and sometimes only upon one person. This is a great wonder. When the Spirit comes even upon one person, and that Spirit begins its work, it comes and quickens. It makes alive from dead. It renews such a person. It breathes into that person such wonderful love of God as it never had before in its life. It likewise brings such a person into communion and fellowship with God. It brings him as a poor sinner at the feet of Christ Jesus. Sometimes the Spirit blows upon many at one time. So it did this day. Many, 3,000, were born again. Oh, what a mercy for the Spirit to come. I would exhort you, my Bible class, to pray to God that he would let his Spirit come down upon us as we are gathered here together. Lift up your hearts and say, oh Lord, do blow upon us. Oh, let it come as a rushing mighty wind amongst us. This wind was just as if it was going to take everything with it with such force. So the Spirit of God comes at times with such force. It casts down everything that exalteth itself against God and against His truth, and it humbles a person. Oh, this wind has been many times the cause of so many reformations throughout the ages that this world has stood. Even in this great land in which we live, the wind has blown at different times. And all I've read of different places where this was visible, that many young people who were so worldly and so carnal and so sinful, oh, they were wrought upon. And they found these young people standing on the corners talking with each other about the wonderful works of God. Wouldn't you like to see something like that again in our blessed country? Isn't that worth praying for? When we look around and see what's going on in our blessed land, in comparison to what I'm speaking about, it should humble us, it should break our hearts that God has so departed from us as a country and as a people and given us over to such sin and iniquity. It's fearful, my hearers. But we find that this wind came upon these people that were in this particular house. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, when there's no more room left for any creature but for God and Him only. So it was here. The wind, as an audible sign, came down upon this group of people. And we find that there was likewise another sign, a visible sign from heaven, which was that there came down upon them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues as of fire. It just was like fire coming down upon each one of their heads, and this fire was in flames and it was split. This was another visible sign of the Spirit descending upon this group of people. Fire, you know, resembles the Spirit. Fire melts, fire likewise purifies the dross, and fire likewise warms. So spiritually, my hearers, the fire melts the heart of a sinner when the Spirit comes in. It gives such a sinner a broken heart. It melts him into pieces. Have you ever had a broken heart? Has the Spirit ever opened your heart unto you and given you to see what is inside of you and what you have done against this good God in heaven above? Has the goodness of God ever broken your heart to pieces? All this heavenly fire, my hearers, melts. It breaks down. It likewise separates the dross. As you know, when they put metal into fire, it separates the dross from the pure metal. So the Spirit of God separates. Has it ever separated you? Separated you from the world? Separated you from your companions with whom you formerly lived in sin? Has it separated you likewise to go alone, to get on your knees, to entreat God that He would have mercy upon you? All this separating work of the Spirit, likewise separating inside, separating those things that come from yourself and which only come from God. A separating work going on continually in the heart. The Spirit giving you to see what is from yourself and what is from God. Oh, my hearers, this Spirit likewise warms. It influences the affections that the Spirit brings in with it. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to find your heart warmed. We read of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they had to say, did not our hearts burn within us while He spake unto us over the way? Has your heart ever burned within you? Have you ever had this, that your heart was warm under the ministry of the Word? Or that your heart began to go out unto the living God? You felt such warm feelings for God, for His service, for His Son. You had such outgoings and longings to find peace with this God, to know Him as a triune God for your own soul's salvation. Oh, what a mercy when the Spirit works in our hearts like fire. Oh, what a burning feeling we have for God and His service and His worship. Nobody needs to tell us it's Sunday, you got to go to church. Oh, no. We have such a longing to come up to the house of God. Oh, day and night we are busy with the Lord. Do you know of such a time in your life when the Spirit worked in you in this way and brought you with hungerings and thirstings after Christ, after His Word, after His glorious blood and righteousness? Oh, my hearers, I wish this Spirit was more active in my own heart. I know of times that I'm speaking about, I would never be able to say these things. But it isn't so every day. Oh, we have to lament that we are so far gone from God in this respect, that the Spirit is so inactive in our very souls, and that we are so dormant, and we come under the means of grace, and we come and go the same way. Oh, this is a sad state, my hearers. Time was when every song we sang, there was something in it for our souls. The sermon was like a feast for us. Oh, the Word of God, even reading it at home, it was so precious, so delightful, we couldn't stay away from it. You remember you had a time like that in your life? What made you that way? You weren't that way all the time, were you? It was the Spirit of God that came into your soul and drew you to those objects which you need, shall it be well with you for an ever-ending eternity. The Spirit came down in cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. This likewise was a special gift signified by these cloven tongues. This signified that they would be given to speak in various languages. This the Spirit gave as a special gift to these people. There were about 120 people gathered in this upper room where this took place, and it was not just only the apostles, but everybody in the place. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were then all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my hearers, they were filled with God. He took possession of them. There wasn't anything left of themselves anymore. God came in, and He made their hearts His temple, His dwelling place. Oh, what a wonderful blessing, my hearers, when God comes and fills us with His Holy Spirit. So these people, they were filled, brimful of God they were. There wasn't any place for anything else. Oh, they were so holy. They were so heavenly. They were so lifted up. They had nothing to do anymore with this world here below. They were busy with the world above. They were so filled by the Spirit with the wonderful work of Jesus Christ, which they never had before. Oh, they were ignorant. They were dumb in this respect concerning even the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. But now the Spirit came and filled them and brought before them the wonderful plan of salvation that God had from all eternity. And they seen the reason why Jesus had come into this world. Oh, they were so filled with wonder and amazement at God, at His love, at Jesus, and that the Spirit gave them to see this. Oh, this wonderful blessing. They were so filled with the Holy Ghost. that they likewise had no place to study or to run to books or to anything of the kind. All they had to do was to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Their minds were occupied by God. This is the place where words are formed. And now the Spirit came in, and it gave them the matter to speak about, and it gave them the languages to speak with, which was another great blessing. These ignorant fishermen, these Galileans, who never had any schooling, never had any education, never had any reasons even to study or to learn languages. They probably never heard these languages. They were no scholars, they were no travelers. And here the Spirit comes upon them, and in a moment they were given to speak these different languages. You know, when Christ was on earth with them, he said unto them, greater things than these shall ye do. And when Christ was on earth, he only spake one language. So with his disciples, they all spake a dialect of the Hebrew, the Syriac dialect. And now, when Christ had ascended up on high and he sent his Spirit down, we find that these ignorant fishermen, they were given this wonderful gift. Christ had commissioned them that they should abide at Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And then from Jerusalem, they were to go out to all the ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel. And yeah, how are they going to proclaim the gospel to people that speak in different languages? If you've went to school and you've tried to learn a language, you know that it takes a lifetime to learn these languages that these persons were given in one moment to speak. See the wonder of God, the miracle that God gave. This was a greater wonder than any of the wonders that Christ had done, the miraculous wonders of healing even. This was a wonder. A wonder in the mind, a wonder in the heart, a wonder in the tongue. These ignorant fishermen, they began to speak somewheres around 16 different languages. Whether they all spake these at once, the Bible doesn't say. But they all were given to speak fluently, properly, elegantly, not just stammeringly, not a word here and there, oh no. But they spake it as if it was their native tongue. So good they spake these languages. Oh, my hearers, what a wonder this was for themselves. How it confirmed unto them their faith and their belief in Jesus Christ, that he was faithful to his promises that he had given unto them. And these ignorant fishermen, they began to speak. So many people were gathered together to Jerusalem from under all nations under heaven, it says. The Jews, they had been separated almost into every country upon the earth. And these Jews, they were gathered together here at this present time. Why? What made them all come just at this particular time to Jerusalem? Because of this feast? No. These Jews, they had the Old Testament scriptures, and in them they found out that the end of the weeks that Daniel had prophesied were come to an end, and likewise that the scepter had departed from Judah, and that the time was here that the Messiah should come. And now they came from all over the world. They came to Jerusalem, these Jews, to dwell there, to live there, expecting the Messiah to come so that they would be the first ones to share in the blessings of Messiah's kingdom. That's why they were living there. They were waiting for this. And now when they came and heard these ignorant fishermen speaking, why, they marveled. They were amazed. They heard them all speaking in their own languages. And they spake of the wonderful works of God. This is what they heard him talking about. Oh, my hearers, they couldn't do anything else but talk about God and about the wonders that he had done in the past and what he had done for them and what he had done upon the cross, the wonders of his love, of his mercy, of his grace. This is what their mouth overflowed with. Oh, they did not have to study well, like I do for a subject. No, my hearers, they were given it to speak just as the Spirit gave them to it. How easy and simple this was. What a wonderful service they were in, my hearers. Oh, I think what a burden it is sometimes to be a Bible class teacher. But oh, it was no burden for these men. Oh, no, it was a loving task. It just flowed of itself. And they had such love for God and for his service because he was using them as instruments in this. All these men then, they were gifted from above with this special gift that they could talk to 16 different kinds of people. And now, my hearers, this wonderful blessing is gone out of the world today. God has not given special blessings like this. This was when he established his church at Jerusalem. And so, my hearers, this tongue that these men had was used to the glory of God. When God comes with his Spirit into the heart of anyone, then that person becomes a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And a person begins to see with new eyes. He begins to hear with new ears. He begins to see, too, sin and all its evils. But he begins to see likewise Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Oh, that he welcomes sinners to come to himself. All these men, they had been likewise fishermen, ordinary individuals. They likewise had been called by Christ to be followers of him and fishermen of men. And now he gave them the tongue to go forth to speak. So when the Spirit comes into the life of any individual, irrespective of how he used his tongue before, there's a change. They spake as with new tongues. Have you ever been given to speak as with new tongues? Have you been given to speak a language that the world don't know anymore? Formerly you found so much friendship and so much conversation with people. You could talk with each other for hours. You liked to meet each other. You liked to be in each other's homes. And you talked about the world and the things of the world. That this was your life. But when God came into your heart, I remember that time with myself. I thought I never would speak anymore. I'll be honest with you. Days went by. I never said a word to nobody. You know why? Because I was afraid I was going to sin. Oh, I didn't dare open my mouth. I had been such a filthy creature. I had cursed. I had sworn. I had talked so filthy in my life. And I was afraid that this would all burst out again. I dared not utter a word for days. Just silence. People wondered, what's the matter with you? Oh, my hearers, have you ever went through this? And then when you did open your mouth, you spake with a new tongue. They looked at you. They wondered what was the matter with you. Where was this man coming from with this language? Oh, when God comes, my hearers, we can't go on any longer. All our vain conversation comes to an end. We don't want to mingle with people that have a vain conversation. We like to meet those that have met with God, and we want to talk with them about the things of God. What a mercy, my hearers. You know of such a time? Just read James 3. He speaks about the tongue, what it is. It's a world of iniquity. It's put on fire by hell. You found that out yourself if you lived like I did. Oh, yes, my hearers. Oh, and it does nothing else but curse our fellow creatures, that with the same tongue we would bless and pray God. This is the way we use it. But oh, when he comes, then he comes like with these men. Oh, they began to speak about the wonderful works of God. Maybe you don't dare to. Maybe you're not so sure that these works are going on in you. Maybe you're silenced too in this way. this is not right. The stones in the street will cry out before they would keep silence. That's what the Bible says. And it's a mercy to have freedom, to have boldness, to be able to speak about what God has done for you, to testify to everyone who you meet of the hope that you have within you. Not to be a man with it, not to be proud with it. Oh, no. No, my hearers, it's a mercy if this has taken place. Then you have likewise received a new tongue. Ah, you use your tongue to sing the praises of God. You never sang it before with your heart, but now with the heart and with the mouth, you sing his praises. And all when you read God's word, my hearers, oh, you never read it like you did then. You have so much time to read it then. You make time for it. That's first. Is it still first with you? I'm afraid not. Huh? Must you not say it isn't? I have so many other things you got to take care of. I can't be bothered reading all the time. But at that time you found no time to read. Oh, yes. And all my hearers, when you spake to anyone that you knew, you spake in love, you warned them, you spoke to them about their sins and that they shouldn't continue to go on with them. And you spoke about Jesus, that he was willing to save sinners. You use your tongue in a different purpose. So these fishermen, they were likewise given to speak in this way. I wish that every one of you were given a new tongue, and that we would have a little social meeting, and then everybody would come, and everybody would begin to expound the wonderful works of God. What unity there would be, what love there would be. Oh, my hearers, the spirit is so far gone today, there's no even desire for this. Oh, no. We'd rather stay home. We'd rather go here and go there. But God and his communion and his fellowship is far gone today. Oh, how necessary that we all together in one accord, in unity, cry to God for the outpouring of his blessed Spirit upon us and upon our seed. Oh, cease not to do so, my hearers, and may God in his infinite love and mercy grant us an outpouring upon our own heart and soul as well as upon everyone that we know. This concludes our Bible lesson for today. That's all.